I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
In time at reliableair.com. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes from right now. Raheem Morris, Zach Robinson, coaching staff, speaking up at Flowery Branch. We'll let you hear a little bit of what the offensive coordinator had to say about how they're going to get this thing fixed. Mark Schlereth going to join us, Odyssey NFL Insider, every Wednesday at 1:20. Get his thoughts on certainly where the Falcons are at right now. He was on the call for Fox last weekend when the Patriots beat the Browns, so he just got done calling them over the weekend, so he can tell us a bit more about those guys, and we'll get his thoughts on the other big stories in the NFL as well, and an AMA to wrap things up at 1:40.
They had this interesting, it was on ESPN.com, and they did like a little profile on Haynes King.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you see that? He was talking about after the Georgia game last year. Like, that was pissing blood.
Yep.
He was getting the hell knocked out of
him. He sure was.
Damn sure was, boy.
That's the kind of stuff.
That's what makes your teammates love you.
That and your fans.
Yes.
Like, those are the stories that make you legendary.
That dude is a freaking stud.
He's a freaking stud. After that, like, this year obviously had to go well with the expectation and him coming back and all that stuff to really solidify it. But, like, after what he had done leading into this year, he felt to me like he was already kind of being viewed as kind of an all-time Georgia Tech guy.
Yeah, man.
What he's doing right now, like, he's putting his name up there with the legends of legends.
Yes.
And that program's got some legends, man.
Yes, they do.
Some of the biggest names in the history of college football. That's what he's doing right now.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you know, and who knows what this season might become. I mean, the sky's the limit at this point.
As long as they don't have a trip up, they should be playing Georgia undefeated.
That's right.
Yeah,
they
should be playing Georgia undefeated.
That's exactly right. They could go to 9-0 for the first time in a bazillion years if they beat NC State on Saturday night, which they should. NC State 4-4. Tech favored by 5.5 in that one. And, yeah, like the rest of the schedule is favorable. And then you got Georgia here in Atlanta, and then likely an ACC championship game appearance, and then, you know, hopefully a college football playoff appearance as well. Like, I mean, it's pretty crazy.
It's crazy.
Pretty crazy, especially coming from where it was.
Right.
Like, the Jeff Collins nonsense of all the 404, the culture, and all that crap.
But he had the Waffle House Cup,
it
Andy.
It was just so lame.
He was in at Waffle House.
Performative.
With the blue carpet.
Yeah.
And go play some damn football.
Can you block?
Rick Key looked like he probably ripped that damn blue carpet up with his hands.
Can you? Because he was on that staff.
Yes.
Like, can you imagine?
Yes.
Like, obviously, you got whatever. He's the coach. Yeah, so, that's it. We're going to make it work. Imagine the thought bubbles on Brent Key when he was listening to that stuff.
What the hell are you talking about, dude?
This is the stupidest. Because he is ultimate no-nonsense.
Yes.
Like, he won't suffer. Like, you thought that question that was asked did the Dodgers thing was bad. You could ask Brent Key a good question, and he's going to make you feel like an idiot. Like, that guy, yeah, man. He's a football guy.
He's a football guy.
He is a flat-out football guy.
But
and
no,
his,
he, I
his
mean,
team
he,
might be 9-0 on Saturday
yeah,
night.
Yeah, I mean, but the quarterback, he's unreal, man. He is a freaking, when you talk the warrior, whatever you want to call it, that's what he is, man. And the thing about him, he don't stop. He just goes, all right, let me get up. Oh, you want to run the same play again, Buster? All right, let's run that. I know I just got hit by all 12 guys.
Great, run it.
Run it.
Yeah, man, the legend of Haynes King continues to grow.
Run it.
All right, let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour.
Run it.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
We probably should have just stuck to the same thing because we know we can execute that at a high level. So, obviously, that's – coaching, play calling, execution, all that stuff meshed together. And so, you know, but we do feel like we have the right answers. We feel like we got the right run schemes to get those things going. Like I said, we have so many banked reps of wide zone that, you know, you talk to, again, other opponents, and they're feared of that, of course. So, you know, we just got to execute, got to get the bodies on the bodies, and then play from there.
That's what it is, though.
That's the Falcons offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, a.k.a. public enemy number one in Atlanta this week. Yeah, sure. Sure.
That's what it is, though. I mean, in
but, like, you know, that was last week and the week before.
Yeah.
He knows. I mean,
it's execution.
Cool.
I keep saying it. It's execution. No matter what. Yes. Falcons are going to run the wide damn zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know this. They're going to run to the short side. They're going to run to the wide side. That's what they're going to run.
Why are you not executing it very well?
Because you're not blocking well.
I know, but that's execution.
Yes, that's execution.
That's what I mean. Those guys. That's what I mean. Everybody. I don't just mean, why is Bijan not running 8 yards up the field?
Yes.
Why are the guys that are out in the wide zone blocking not blocking it well? You know what I mean?
Yes.
That you can't just be like, yeah, the play didn't work because we didn't execute. I know. Why didn't you execute?
Yes, because maybe the body's not hat on a hat. Maybe they're not getting up to the second level. Maybe the guy's beating them across their face.
Right.
All these different things.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of different reasons why it doesn't work, but, like, it's just always tough when that's the answer. It's like, well, now we know that. That's just another way of saying it didn't work.
Right.
Why didn't it work?
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I just told you why it's not working.
Yeah, right. You did.
Yeah.
You did. He didn't.
Oh. Okay. All right.
He didn't.
Okay.
We have the answers.
Yeah.
What is the answer? We have to execute. Yeah. Okay. All right. Got it.
But when have you ever heard anybody go into more in depth?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. You can't make it better in a press conference.
Yeah.
All that's going to happen is when you hear the guy who you're mad at talk, you're going to get more mad about it.
Because you're all the way in. Look at you. You're like still no faith, huh?
What?
I said you're out.
Out of what?
Meaning that you're upset with them still. We haven't moved on yet.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. Like, I was never upset.
I mean, you haven't moved. You're still thinking about last game.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
It's Wednesday.
I know. It's time to get ready for Sunday.
Well, okay.
Yeah, it's time to get ready for Sunday.
But, like, yeah, I'm still thinking about the game they played last weekend.
Oh, no, don't worry about
that. We're talking about.
I don't think it's about thinking about what happened last. I think it's about gearing up for what's about to happen.
Well, gearing up about.
I don't know what's about to happen.
Okay. Surprise me, Randy.
If you're going to gear up for what's going to happen, thinking it's going to go bad, then are you going to watch the game then?
I don't know. Well, of course I'm going to watch the game because it's my job to talk about it. Whether they win or lose is irrelevant.
No, what I'm saying is I'm not talking about
you specifically. To me being here at 11 on Monday.
I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm just talking about the person that is saying what AJ said.
Well, I'm going to be hosting a watch party out there.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
of course they're going to watch it, Randy.
If you're already anticipating this.
Yeah.
I watch it.
Surprise me. They could surprise.
Well, if they do this long enough, that will happen. And I hope that doesn't happen because then we won't be doing this anymore. But the people that watch on Sunday have been through it.
Yes.
So they're going to keep showing up at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
But
of course they expect it to go bad.
But my thing is, like, it's on to damn New England. How can.
Well, that was kind of about New England. It's about how are you going to do it better on Sunday?
Yes. Going to execute.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Would you want a pinpoint of how they're going to do it?
That'd be great.
But they're not, when have they ever done that?
I know they're not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I know they're
when not. They done that.
I don't.
They don't do that.
Right. I don't think Vrabel's listening to his press conference to try to take notes anyway.
Again,
that's fine.
Again, you never know.
You never know.
You never know, man.
You never know.
These coaches are some damn weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
They're some damn weirdos. They think anything they could get. Oh, he said and twice.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I get it. They don't have time to be worried about what happened on Sunday because they got to worry about what's going to happen this coming Sunday. I'm coming at it from the perspective of someone who's not playing in either of those games.
Right.
So where I'm at mentally is irrelevant.
Right.
Because I'm not blocking, tackling, thank God. Otherwise, they'd lose by a lot more than 30 against the Dolphins and the Panthers. Yeah, Falcons fans are still thinking about Sunday.
Okay.
Falcons fans are thinking about 1981. Man, like, that's what fans do. They carry the crap around with them, the baggage. Hopefully they give us something to be happy about.
Let's
on
hope
Sunday.
So. Let's hope
because
so.
Because the last 2 weeks have been real bad.
They've been bad.
Yeah, they've been real bad.
You would not get any argument from me about the severity of how bad it was, especially last week. Again, we talked about it on Monday. This one, if you want to say the worst losses of the year, they have two of them.
They have the two.
Yeah, they have two of them. Now, maybe Green Bay losing to the Browns, maybe.
Maybe.
They're somewhere. Yeah. Obviously, but no, this is awful because, like, you got your ass kicked in both of them. It wasn't even close, Bunk. It wasn't one of them things where, like you said, you missed field goal or something. No, you got thoroughly smacked.
That's why the explanation being so simplistic is so frustrating because it clearly isn't. Like, if that was it, then you would have just fixed it. Like, you got the one wake-up call a month ago.
Right.
Like, if
was that, it a wake-up call?
Of course not. It wasn't. It was a reality check is what it was.
Okay, that you weren't as good as you thought you were.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Right.
It was that, unfortunately, this football team is not as good as we hoped that they would be.
Right.
You don't have the extreme performances that this football team has had this year if you're truly a good football team. They're capable of good performances. Yes, of course they are.
We've seen it.
They beat the Bills on Monday night.
We've seen it.
But we've also seen them have losses that are so embarrassing that when the gap between your best and your worst is that wide and you've done the worst more times than you've done the best, and there's not an obvious explanation for it, like, you know, it was a short week, or I know Kirk Cousins played and Drake London didn't play. And if Penix can go on Sunday and Drake can, hopefully that helps bridge that gap a little bit. But when we've played seven games and two of them are that awful,
they're bad.
Kind of tells you what you need to know.
It tells you what you need to know is that if this team, whether there's no perfect game, but this team has to stick to their formula. They can't win without the formula, meaning if they can't run, they can't win.
That's right.
And that's not good.
Right.
That's not good because teams are going to make you play left-handed or however, whatever you want to do.
That's what's happening right now in the NFL. Teams are figuring out what other teams do their best.
And they take it away.
And then they're taking it away. And over the last couple of weeks, Zach Robinson has had what they do best offensively taken away from him, and he hasn't been able to react to it.
Nope.
So, of course, he's going to tell us they have the answers because he still has the job. And, of course, Raheem's going to tell us he has confidence in him because he still has the job.
Yep.
They can't take the podium and, like Brent Key, when Jeff Collins was saying all that stuff about Waffle House, if you asked him about it, he probably would have said,
"Yeah, man,
he likes his."
I got scattered
and whatever. Exactly. But in his mind, he was like, "This blankety blank." Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's people over there feeling like that or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if there are.
Right now, there are.
Of course,
there are. You get to a point where, it can be to a standpoint where you're just like, okay. Nobody wants to hear that. And I think sometimes as a coach, you're like, okay, let me say something different than what I've been saying. Because right now, you're at a situation where you're coming off of two bad losses, and one just extremely bad loss. And I understand the confidence level of your fan base and everything, where it is. It is what it is. You're still pissed off. And I would never, and I keep saying, make sure I repeat that. I'm not saying you shouldn't be mad. I'm not saying people shouldn't be thinking about Sunday. That's fine. But my thing is the focus should be on this Sunday because you got an opportunity to right wrong.
I'm sure it is.
That's my thing.
I'm sure it is.
That's my thing. I think that just comes through the different mindset.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because you're in there.
Yes. Yes.
You're in there thinking about trying to make it better on Sunday.
Yes.
And I hope that's what they do.
Yes.
And if they do, next week we'll talk about that. But right now I'm still talking about Miami.
Yeah.
Because that happened.
That's the last thing that happened. But that did happen. But yet you still, again, different mindset, different thought processes behind how the hell do you just move on and get ready for it? Because nothing that you did last week is going to get you ready for this week.
And this is where I probably need to get better at this job. But, like, I can't say anything all that interesting about what hasn't happened yet.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
I understand.
I can say lots of interesting stuff about what has happened.
But what haven't we said about that? That there's more?
Oh, there's more. Oh, Randy, you ain't heard nothing yet, my friend. We could do all 3 hours, all 5 days on it, and I wouldn't run out of stuff to say about what that performance was.
Enjoy Dukes of Battlesworth special
edition. I'm a thesaurus when it comes to this.
Tomorrow, as they broadcast live from Metro Bottle on Marietta Boulevard in Atlanta. Come stock up for the weekend while joining Dukes and Bells. They preview this week's big weekend of college football and pro football matchup. That's Dukes and Bell live Thursday, 2-6 at Metro Bottle on Marietta Boulevard.
Mark Schlereth will join us next. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. Get his thoughts on what went wrong against the Dolphins, how the Falcons could fix it against the Patriots as well. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Be down with the cane.
20 minutes away from the AMA. Any question, any topic, get the phone lines open, 404-726-0929. But Wednesdays at 1:20, mean Mark Schlereth joins the show. He's our Odyssey NFL insider and host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. You can listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing?
We individually are good. we're talking to a group of fans that aren't doing great after the way the Falcons have played the last couple of times out. What happened to the Falcons on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins?
Well, I mean, it just looked completely disjointed, didn't it? And,
yeah.
It's really interesting, too, because the Miami Dolphins, they stink. And, they're just a bad football team, and they are – that might have been one of those let's put one together before everybody gets fired type of things, like type of performances, because they've been awful. And so for you to go out there and lay an egg and just have no offensive continuity whatsoever and to give up that many points and that many big plays to the Miami Dolphins, it's just one of those performances. You know, I think we've all had those performances where – you go out, you play like garbage, and you hope that tape never gets seen by anybody. Like, can we just bury that? Can we put that one in the ground somewhere and never look at it again? And every now and again, man, that happens. And, there's not necessarily rhyme nor reason for it. It just does happen every now and again, which is unfortunate, but it's part of the game we play.
What about their opponent this weekend? Because you called the Patriots game last week, and we talked about – we always talk about, culture stink and, like, coaching and all those different things. Well, they got the right hire. They got the right quarterback, it seems like. But what about this team? Because they seem like they're kind of modeled after their head coach.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Like, Mike Vrabel's just – like, that dude's a dude, and he can be a salty – he can be a salty just ass.
Yes.
But at the same time, like, Vrabe is one of those guys that's very connective. He builds relationships. He is hard on his guys, man. He coaches them hard, but he's there with them every step of the way. You know, he's out there – I'm watching practice on Friday. He's out there in a penny getting after playing outside linebacker, and you're like, Lord have mercy. It would crush me to do that. But the guys like playing for him. He is Parcellians in that he keeps a couple of guys that travel with him. Back when I played, every time he faced Parcells, you knew you were going to get Steve DiAssi and Pepper Johnson as the middle linebackers, And then he goes to New England, you bring those guys. But he goes to he leaves the Giants to New England, then goes from New England over to the Jets, and he brings all those guys with him. And that's kind of how, he operates as a coach. And so, like, Braves has got Landry over there from Tennessee. He's got, Gibbons as a backup. He's got, he's got Spillane. So they all all those guys played for him. So he implements kind of his identity and what he wants from his guys. And those dudes just buy in. And it's really cool to see that. To see a guy like Stephon Diggs, who is historically – been a guy that you have to manage and a guy that becomes a diva at some point. And that dude's playing his butt off. He is a third down conversion specialist. He runs, his routes hard. He celebrates everybody. He blocks. It's just got a really good vibe. And obviously that quarterback is playing lights out right now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about him. What has led to Drake May kind of taking this step in his second? I didn't even play his whole rookie year, but what is leading to him playing the way that he is right now?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with Josh McDaniels. And you can say whatever you want about Josh McDaniels as a head coach, and it's probably all viable. But as a play caller and offensive coordinator, man, that guy gets it. And, I'm calling the game against New England, and I'm sitting in the production meeting with him. He goes, hey, man, we're going to attack them with some traps, some whams. We're going to run the inside game, da-da-da-da-da, because outside they play wide nine. It's really hard to attack out there. Well, they're getting crushed on the inside game. So all of a sudden they start attacking the edge, and they first started attacking the edge by read zoning it. right? So they're just not blocking the defensive end, and they're running a little flip play, little pitch plays, and they're getting outside. Then all of a sudden it's pin and pull where they motion a tight end from outside in, and he blocks the defensive end, and then they pitch it and get outside of him. And then they just started exploiting them like with jet sweeps where they don't block him at all. And I was just like, wow, that's really – like it's really good, the adjustment during the game. And then the way he presents offense to Drake, and Drake just absorbs it all, and Drake's one of those guys that can see it, the picture in his mind, and know exactly he can have that communication on the sideline with his coach. And I think one of the things that Drake does a really good job of right now is not putting too much on his own plate. So a lot of what he does when you watch him, he'll go to the front side 1-2, and if one isn't open, he'll get to two in the progression. If that's not open, he'll take off and run. He'll go get him 4 or 5 yards or 6 yards. And so, you know, Josh is like, he's not even scratched the surface, because when he starts consistently getting back to the third and fourth read on the opposite side of the field, then we're really going to have something. So he's playing at that high level, turning the ball over from the standpoint of in the air, on the deep ball, directly into, you know, into tiny little windows. And there's nobody throwing the deep ball better than him right now. He's just really playing good football.
Hey, what do you think of this, you know, because the Eagles had a really good game. Saquon finally got the big play. A.J. Brown not there. I don't believe that they should move on. I do not believe that they're better off without him. But yet it seems like that relationship between the quarterback receiver just ain't – it's not on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, it's not. And, you know, and I just think that – I think what you saw last Sunday – was how they're truly constructed and how they won all the games they won last year. And that is, let's play bully ball, let's beat people up, and let's limit the number of times we throw.
Right.
And you look at them, you know, they're a low-volume throw team. So if they can keep it between 20 and 25, 27, like that's where they want to be. And that's where Jalen Hurts is really efficient. But when they start becoming a drop back, let's throw it 35 times a game, that's not his game. He's not great at that. And so last week, I mean, you know, they leaned into the run game. They weren't worried about feeding multiple receivers. You know, Smith got his, but they ended up throwing 20 times. They had 15 completions. Like that's – and they're big completions. You know when you're running it well, you're going to get one-on-one on the outside because they got to roll a safety down in there to help defend the run. Like that's how they're constructed. That's how they're built, and that's how they have success. And so that – I think to me that's what you got to do. That's who you've got to be. You've got to lean into what your identity is. We just talked about Vrabel. Like they know what they are. They know what their identity is. They know how they're going to play the game. I think that's what Philadelphia has to do.
Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Sounds like Lamar Jackson will be back tomorrow night for the Ravens. Maybe it's division related or otherwise, but do you think that him coming back and playing the rest of the year is enough to save their season?
Yeah, if they play well, they were so injured on the defensive side of the ball. They had, you know, their linebackers were out, their starting corners were out. They had a lot of injuries. Obviously, they lost their best defensive lineman in Matabuke. Mm-hmm. They had a ton of injuries, and then Lamar's out. And so here's the beauty of them right now, sitting at where are they, 2-5?
Yep.
The beauty of the Baltimore Ravens right now is the rest of that division stinks.
Yeah.
You know, Cincinnati stinks. The Cleveland Browns stink. Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh is not that good. You know, and defensively they're struggling. They can go on a run here and they can reel everybody in and win that division. And we know how good Lamar is. If they can stay healthy here on out, if they've had that – you know, they had that injury issue. If they've overcome that, then, yeah, I think they can reel everybody else in and win that division.
Last one for me. Does it seem like the Chiefs are chiefing right now?
Yeah, isn't it sickening? they got it all together right now. They got the receivers are back healthy. And, like, you know, I mean, how many teams can roll down their first two drives, throw two picks, and be like, ho-hum, no big deal, and then end up hanging, you know, 30 points on somebody? It's annoying. It's sickening. I hate every second of it. I want to, like, everything about the Chiefs irritates me. And one of the things that really irritate me is I really like Andy Reid, and I really have enjoyed and liked Patrick Mahomes, and that makes me feel dirty. I don't want to like any of them. I want to hate their guts, and I don't. And I don't know. I'm conflicted when it comes to the Chiefs.
The Broncos are 6-2. You know,
I know, but they're six and two, and they just beat the Cowboys. But beating the Cowboys defense is, I mean, that's, you know, the Cowboys defense blows. They're a JV team, so you don't get as much like, oh man, we scored 44 points. Yeah, but it was against the Cowboys. It's not really that good.
Mark, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Odyssey Insider, NFL Insider, Mark Slareth.
I just wanted to say that.
We know when we talk to Stink at the end of the segment every single week, we know who stinks and blows the NFL.
Because it doesn't matter. He's going to let you know who stinks and who blows.
Yeah, we found out who those teams are. You can find out more on the Stinkin' Truth podcast as well. That's his podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mark, again, host of the Odyssey original Stinkin' Truth podcast. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We'll come back, answer all your questions, AMA, any question, any topic. Phone lines are open at 404-726-0929. Load up the phone lines. We will answer next on Sports Radio 92.9.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
The game.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Final hour of the show brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com. A couple phone lines available if you want to jump on and ask a question, 404-726-0929. We'll start with Tyrone in Douglasville.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Randy, love you guys.
Love you too, Tyrone.
Quick question. So, you guys were just talking about, you know, wonder what the names are of, like, what does Roger Goodell call somebody? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a Cowboy fan, and I'm not going to say it on the radio, but I bet you Roger Goodell probably has it as J-Boy. Like, you know, you fill in the rest. Jack, yeah, that one.
Okay.
Yeah, for Jerry Jones, because he's such a knucklehead. But anyway, you guys should do a survey, and, you know, maybe we should, you know, find out from your listeners, what do you think, like, Adam Silver or, you know, Roger Goodell have in their phone with that? I'll sit back and listen. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you, Tyrone. Yeah, so if, like, the commissioners have nicknames for the owners in their phones, for when they call them.
But I think you can't do that because anything can happen.
If you get caught.
Yeah, anything can happen. That phone gets hacked.
Do you ever have it where, like, you meet somebody and you have no idea what the relationship is going to be, but you meet them and you put their name in your phone like that, and then fast forward like 10, 15 years, you've got really, you're good friends and all that kind of stuff. Like, I had my wife's name in my phone as Ashley Comgrad, because that's where we met, Comgrad at BU.
Okay.
Ashley Comgrad for years. And I was
even after y'all were like together?
Yeah. I was like, I probably better update this and make it a little sweeter. Yeah. But like, that's what she was. She was Ashley Comgrad.
Oh.
But now she's my wife, you know?
What do you have her in?
Her name in there right now is a bunch of different heart emojis.
Okay.
And the name Swishly, which is what I call her.
Oh, my wife went into my phone because when I first met her, I typed her name in. She changed it and put my beautiful wife.
Great.
That's
and what was it? Just her name?
It was just her name. Always just her name.
Yeah.
And now she put his beautiful wife has her picture and hearts. I'm like, all right.
Well, like, when I first got your phone number, I think you were a guest on the night show years and years and years ago when I was hosting it. And I had DM'd you because I didn't have your number.
Yep.
And you sent me it, and then I just put it in there as Randy Mack. And then I still, it's what it is. It's fine.
Yeah, you're Andy Bunker. I just switched Andy Bunker work. I just switched Bo's because it was always Bo 929. Yeah. That's when I first met Bo. Right. And never changed it. So he now he's Bo Johnson.
Yeah. So you
and
got,
then
you
Abe
the
is just
thing.
Abe.
You I was just gonna thing. Ask if I'm even saved you.
Yeah,
yourself.
You're Abe. And the thing about it is that I don't care and I would never get used to it. Is that Abe had I'm calling my son by mistake. Abe has the
a picture.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm calling my son.
When it pops up, a picture of
yeah,
Abe.
Yeah, a picture of Abe in a damn United jersey pops
yeah,
up.
That's and it's still and that the photo weird, is taken right here,
and
by
it's
way.
Still that's the a, weirdest damn thing.
I
ever.
Can change the photo.
I'll be honest with you.
How about you just take the picture down?
I'm not.
I could. I don't. I, it and does it on its own.
Bo has one too, with him like in a damn a life vest.
Oh, that's true. He does.
Swimming with dolphins.
Yeah, man.
Swimming with dolphins. I'm not a big nickname guy. I don't come up with nicknames for people, and I don't even really call them nicknames. Pretty much call everyone by their first name. I never even really been like a last name caller.
Dude, you can call everybody by first and last name.
Sometimes first and last.
Yes.
But, you know, like a lot of people just call me Bunker.
Really?
But I've never called people by their last name. Oh. I'm always a first name or first and last name. Now, the question was, what would the nicknames be? We don't have time to do all of them, but if Roger Goodell had Arthur Blank's number saved nickname-wise in his phone...
He probably wouldn't even. He probably have a picture emoji of a smoking jacket.
Yeah,
yeah, a smoking jacket.
Oh, it's just the Home Depot logo.
Yeah,
or that's
Home
right
Depot
there.
Logo.
Yeah, that right
the
Home
there.
Depot
yeah.
logo.
Yeah.
Uncle Arthur probably wouldn't call him that because he wouldn't think about it.
Robert
like that.
Kraft, a middle finger. Yeah.
Rub and tug.
Yeah, yeah. Damn it, Bunk.
You can say that, right? Sure, I did.
Did you dump it anyway?
No, no, no. Yeah. The people need to hear. Yeah. The people need to hear. All right, Marcus is in Ackworth. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, how y'all doing today, fellas? Love the show.
Love you, Marcus.
I wanted to see if y'all felt like the show. Raheem on the sidelines, like when the players make a good play, he all excited, jumping up and down. But when they mess up, it's no emotion. I mean, he don't get a nobody tail or nothing. I never saw any anger emotions, maybe at a ref, but never at a player or anything. What do y'all feel about that, fellas?
I agree with you. He does not. I don't have a problem with it. Kind of. This was an off-the-air conversation we were having. Yeah, you go on because you played.
Professional football, man. I mean, understand personalities of what your coach is. I think we talked about it on Monday. If Rod goes over there screaming and yelling, players will look at him and like, "What the hell is wrong with you?" Because that's not his. Demeanor. Hold on, Abe. Right. That's not his demeanor. All right? They made a good play. Hell yeah, I'm going to cheer.
Yeah.
But these are grown at. Very rarely does that happen in any, with any player, with any team in the National Football League that you see a coach run over there and scold and yell at players. It don't happen.
It becomes a story.
Exactly. That's why you don't see it a lot.
Exactly.
When it happens, so. That whole argument, and it comes up once a week, somebody says that. Oh, you look up at the scoreboard. What does that have to do with anything?
It doesn't have to do with why they're winning or losing.
Nothing. It has nothing.
What it has to do with is people are mad that the team is losing, and everything that anyone does is annoying. That's what it is.
But I'm just saying.
It doesn't matter what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, but I'm just like.
When they're losing,
players,
everything they
NFL
do
NFL coaches
irritates
don't
people.
Yell at their players. That's why, like Andy just said. The rare times that it does, that's why it's always highlighted, because it's always rare.
Right. We were talking about something related to this during a break, sort of, just about, like, what do you want to happen? Because imagine, like you said, Raheem does do that. He lays, who I don't know who it would be, on Sunday, everybody played bad, so he'd be screaming at everyone.
Yeah.
And maybe he does behind closed doors at halftime, I have no idea. But say he does do that. This guy coached that guy for the rest of the year now, too. Like, that, call him out, throw him under the bus, whatever you want to do, like, unprofessional behavior. Yeah. Like, that guy, the guy's on the team.
Yes.
And he's going to be on the team next week and for the remainder of the season. Like, you don't want to, you know. I don't
also,
know.
Like, that guy knows he made a mistake.
Right.
It's not like you're bringing it to his attention.
It's different in college and pro.
It's so different. It's so different. But that's the reason, because you don't see. You don't holler at NFL players during year to go. I played with Nick Saban. Nick Saban never hollered at us. Now, in practice, he'd be hollering his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Or in a meeting.
Or at coaches.
Or at coaches. But very rarely did he go and confront a player. Like, you saw him in Muschamp, that display they did. Mm-hmm. He never did that. Because he knows somebody would go slap his little ass.
Yeah. But it's just, again, it all gets back to, you know, something we talk about is everything sucks when they lose. Everything.
Yes.
The coach's sideline demeanor, his pants, the company the owner owns. Like, the season's gotten so bad that we've moved past everybody.
Yes.
And we're talking about Arthur Blank and Rich McKay again. Like, that's where we've gotten to. Like, that's what those losses have done. I did not expect to be here at this point. No. But I didn't think they were going to be down 34-3 to the Dolphins either. And yet they were. Mo is in Columbus. Hey, Mo.
Yo, fellas, got a non-sports related question for y'all. So I grilled over the weekend, got home from work this morning. I was like, man, I want one of these last burgers. So one burger up, I'm about to put some ketchup and mustard on it. And I thought about it. I'm like, when you go to a restaurant, the ketchup and mustard isn't in the refrigerator, but we all put ketchup and mustard in the refrigerator.
That's true.
So I'm wondering, do y'all put ketchup and mustard in the refrigerator and why? And I ended up reading the label. So ketchup, you don't have to put in the refrigerator after you open it. Mustard, you don't have to put in the refrigerator after you open it. It does say for a better taste, refrigerate it. But obviously, like mayonnaise, you put it in the refrigerator. But do y'all put it in there?
Yeah, thanks, Mo. I do.
You do what?
I put ketchup and mustard in the refrigerator.
I put, for some reason, when we put mustard in the refrigerator and we put ketchup in cabin.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're safe either way.
Yeah.
We put peanut butter in the refrigerator.
Really?
Which I hate because then it's really hard to spread. If it's room, I don't put it in there, but it gets put in there.
No,
it's
that one of the things where you're just doing it and moving over and you just put it in there?
She just puts it in there.
Really? No.
And she's the majority peanut butter user, so stays in
now,
there.
Now, our biggest...
Hard to spread a cold peanut butter.
Our biggest thing between me and my wife, because we both catch up, is syrup.
Mm.
I like it in the refrigerator. Kay. She puts it in the cabinet.
All right.
I don't...
Well, I think ours is in the fridge.
Okay.
I don't like syrup.
But I mean, I don't eat pancakes and that no more.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like.
What about honey?
Honey is in the cabinet.
Yes.
Honey's in the cabinet.
Honey's everywhere. We're like Winnie the Pooh right now. We got 7 things of honey.
Really?
I don't know why.
Honey. My thing is, like, I cooked something with honey last week, Andy, and all I need is a little bit. You can't find a little bit of honey nowhere. You know that little drawer everybody got with all the condiments? Found an old ass honey.
That's a perfect amount
of honey. From Popeye's.
Perfect amount.
That's all I needed. Found a
and
Popeyes.
Easier to to put it in there. You don't have to get a spoon dirty. I'm gonna put some honey and some tea later. I'll lose this voice. Latif is in Atlanta. Hey, Latif.
Hey, Andy, Randy, how y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Good. Andy, I blame you and Joe Patrick for what happened Sunday.
Fair enough.
Because I was listening to y'all Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And what was your prediction at the end of that? It's just going to be just like the Falcons to do what they exactly did Sunday. So I blame you and Joe Patrick for that.
Yeah. I'll own it.
Secondly, my question is, I don't know if you've answered this before or not, but my father told me when I was a kid about a story he had about gambling, where he lost all his bus money and had to walk miles to school like old school dads had to do.
Right.
My question to y'all guys is, and based on that story, I don't gamble. What type of advice or anything that your fathers have given you that you follow to this day? I appreciate both of you guys, and thanks for the call.
My man,
thank you, Latif.
My father ain't never gave me no damn advice. So
fair enough.
Maybe that's why I'm successful.
Well played.
Yeah.
God, I don't know. My dad still gives me advice. I'm trying to think. My dad was never like a story guy that, though. He never had like a hokey example of something that happened in his life.
You know what I like about what he's talking about? Because about his father. Because that's always like my granddad used to tell stories about that, like that, where they would have to walk like 20 miles.
Yeah.
My granddad was born in the South, but it would like snow 4 feet.
Yeah.
And so he had to walk with no shoes on. Because he wanted to get his shoes wet, he would have to walk with it over his head. Like those kind of stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my dad has 9 brothers and sisters growing up. And I've been to the house they grew up in. It was not large.
Right.
I didn't like talking about it that much. Understandable. But like every once in a while, he would tell an honest story about how poor they were.
Right.
And it would just be so depressing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, God, that's awful.
Yeah.
That's horrible. So his whole thing was always, all he wanted to do was make sure that we were better off than him.
Yes, always.
And pass that down.
Yes.
And hopefully we can pass down for our kids to be better off than
every
us.
Every father wants their children to be
better. He 100%
than
them. Nailed that.
Yes.
So now we got to, got to get Jack, what does he need to make that true? Got to get him a power wheel. Because when I was a kid, that was the ultimate sign of wealth. If a family had a power wheel,
dude, you were loaded.
Those people must be millionaires. You were loaded. And I never had one.
Y'all going power wheel this Christmas?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's been a good year, Randy.
Way to go, Jay. It's been a good year.
It's power wheel time, man. It's power wheel time. All right, let's get to takeaways of the day.
Damn good dude.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaways.
Thanks to you guys. Andy loves Marcus and Tyrone.
I do.
Yes.
And everybody else out there.
Maybe because it was the names Marcus and Tyrone. I love you too, Tyrone.
I do think that's the first time I've ever said that sentence. But, yes. I do. I love them. I love everybody out there listening. The Cowboys defense blows.
Yes.
Was said on the show, and that made me chuckle.
Raheem needs to get in someone's tail when they make a mistake.
Yeah.
And we finally found Randy's line. He will not fight a monkey.
No, man.
Bears. You're getting your ass whooped.
Well, he'd fight a 16-pound monkey, just elderly, not a 40-pound monkey.
I'll get your hip replaced.
This show, Adirondack chair and rum drink vibes.
That was a nice compliment from Arch.
What is our Adirondack chair?
You know, it's one of the big wooden layback ones.
Like the chairs we have on the porch that are blue. They got like the big back.
Oh, yeah.
Big arms.
The ones that we took the school picture in?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's an Adirondack chair.
Okay.
Because I guess they invented them in the Adirondacks Mountains in New York. I don't know. That's a mountain range. I don't know much about that. But it's a comfortable chair. Ours are composite, not wood, so they last longer. Costco. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 11.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.